All right. There's different ways to look at the Astros season so far. 28 and 25. I'm going to choose, on the heels of being very petty in the previous segment, I'm going to choose to look at this thing glass half full, that they're 28 and 25 right now. Pretty much the whole season without Yordan Alvarez, like, because even when Yordan was playing, he was negative wins above replacement when he was playing. You could argue, like, oh, by war, they would have been better off with no Yordan this year so far. He's either been a negative war guy, negative wins above replacement guy, or he's been injured so far this year. They've had injuries to their pitching staff. Three-fifths of the staff that they, or the rotation that they viewed coming into the year with, the five guys they viewed as being their starting rotation, three of them are gone. Two of them are probably gone for the year, and Spencer Arrighetti's basically been gone for the entire season. And yet, I look at the playoff standing, Seth, and if the season were to end today, guess who the final wild card team would be? The Houston Astros.
That's right. I was just looking at the wild card standings myself.
Yeah.
They are, by win percentage, they're 1/1000th of a point above the Kansas City Royals.
Take that, Royals.
Yeah. Take that, Royals. We own you.
Suckers. Yeah. That's how I choose to look at it, is they've had a lot of negative thrust on them. I guess the question is how much of it can get fixed. I do think they played a hard schedule, too. They played one of the harder schedules in baseball. Things really ease up here, and I'm just using the power rankings. I just fired open the power rankings on CBSSports.com. They dropped yesterday, and the Astros are 13th. That's about where they've been hanging most of the year, is middle of the pack, because they don't win more than three games in a row ever, and they don't lose more than three games in a row. Like, they have been the quintessential hovering around 500 team all year long. 15 of the 25 games they play coming up here, their next 25 games, so really through almost the end of June, are against 15 of the 25 are against teams that are bottom feeders. They play the A's tonight and tomorrow. They play the Pirates next week for three. The Pirates are awful. The White Sox are even worse than the Pirates. They've got three home games against the White Sox coming up in a couple of weeks. They play the A's and the Angels to round out this stretch of 25 games. 60% of the games they play in these next 25, Seth, are against bottom eight teams in the league, according to these power rankings. And the rest of them are not against world beaters. The best team they play is probably Minnesota, and that's at home. They play three games at home. They're a much better home team than they've been the last couple of years, the Astros. Yeah. They're 15 and 10 at home this year. So this is a part of the schedule here where they can do what they did last year in June and really win a bunch of games. Last year they were having to do it while making up a 10-game deficit to the Mariners. This year they're in a dead heat with the Mariners going into
right.
the stretch.
Yeah, and they very much have an opportunity here that if they continue with some of the trends from this last 17-game stretch, where they could go on a couple of runs. Get one of those ones that just lifts you right up. You win 8 of 10 games or what have you. I don't even care what the streak is. Just something that can elevate you and give you some cushion as you enter the last two-thirds of the season or the last half of the season. The biggest one, the stat that's kind of alarming in a good way, but that paints the picture of exactly what this team is, and in a team that's been leaning on its bullpen. The Astros are 24-4 when leading or tied after six innings.
That's a crazy number
for a basically a 500 baseball team.
Yeah,
if you can get into the sixth inning just tied,
yeah,
tied or winning, but just tied, that you've got a really good chance. If with your meager offensive output, just one run is going to be enough.
Yeah,
so. Like, that's how good the bullpen has been with an offense that has been very much underperforming. Even in this last stretch, they were, you got to go to the advanced stats where it looks like a really good stretch offensively. They weren't scoring a whole bunch of runs during that 17-game stretch, but they did do a lot of things better at the plate. If you just get Yordan back and looking like classic Yordan, even slumping Yordan by his standards in the past.
Yeah.
Like, when he slumps, he's still a better-than-average baseball player.
Like an 800 OPS. So, like,
you don't have to get classic Yordan, yeah, but just get, like, 800 OPS Yordan and Altuve playing the way he played in this last series. Yeah, you've really got something there.
I want to play the audio from that we just played in the Pettycast from Chandler Rome. Chandler Rome of The Athletic was on the Foul Territory podcast. It was with A.J. Pruszynski. And they got talking about the Astros and injuries and how they as a ball club handle disseminating the information on these injuries. I want to play this because it plays into a question I have about Yordan. Here is Chandler Rome.
I'm not here like seeking like medical records of players. Like, I don't want to know what medicines they're on. I don't want, like, we're not asking for much here, but the clarity that they provide is non-existent. And the prognoses they give is usually it exceeds what they say, or it's not all the way true. Like, the lack of just alignment and communication has been something that has now spanned three general managers. It spanned three field managers. So this is not something that is new this year. It's something that has been for a while. The Tucker contusion thing, I mean, at the end of the day, like, it got to be where, like, they were making him look bad because, like, fans thought he was out for 3.5 months with a bruise. When, you know, I talked to doctors, I wrote a story where I quoted like four orthopedic surgeons who said, like, yeah, you know, it's possible to be out for four. These things can take this long to heal for a bone bruise, but it's not that common. And come to find out, there was a fracture in there.
Okay. So I listened to that, and I remember, boy, when Chandler talks about that, it is PTSD to go back and think about that Kyle Tucker injury where it felt like he's coming back, he's doing this, he's doing that. Next thing you know, it's September, and we find out the leg's been broken the whole time. What if, I don't want to think about this, but what if Jordan's injury right now is the 2025 version of the Kyle Tucker injury, and maybe not so much to where it turns out it's a broken bone in his hand, but it's one of these things that it just keeps going and going.
I think that one thing they learned from that ordeal in 2022 was that you got to actually treat it like it's more than something minor. And because
Jordan's hand.
In 2022.
Yeah.
That you got to actually address it pretty aggressively, and then it'll be all right. So the Kyle Tucker situation was, that was one in which also, I think, to back the Astros up on it, I'm not saying that Chandler is wrong about them being like very withholding
secretive
of information.
Yeah.
But the Kyle Tucker situation was one where they did not know that it was a fracture immediately. I think that's where sometimes writers or sports fans as well get frustrated that medical technology isn't as good as it is in the movies. Like, the fact of the matter is sometimes stuff doesn't show up on imaging. And could the Astros have still been more out front of it? Sure, possibly. I don't know if it's something that fans care about as much as the people who cover the team care about. Feel like kind of like steroids in baseball back in the day. The writers cared a lot more about it than the fans themselves did. And then with this, which isn't nearly as big a topic, like you could do a Pender poll on this, I suppose. Do you, as a fan, actually get frustrated that the Astros don't release information, or is it just that's just the way it is, and you don't worry about it?
Yeah, are we making too much of it?
Well, because ultimately, it doesn't affect whether or not the guy comes back.
Right.
I think for guys that cover the team, I know it gets frustrating that Chandler probably gets 20 DMs a day asking about, hey, what's wrong with this guy's elbow? Hey, what's wrong with this? And it's frustrating when you're a person that wants to be able to give answers than when you just have to say the team hasn't released anything. And also Chandler did get, it didn't seem like the team was so happy about him actually understanding and knowing Justin Verlander's situation. That's when it felt like, to me at least, as an outside observer, when things got really adversarial between Chandler and the team, was that Chandler wasn't lying. Chandler was completely accurate in his reporting of it, but the team seemed to have a grudge against Chandler and not wanting him to be proven correct or something.
I think the biggest difference right now, as I'm thinking this through, with the Jordan injury and the Kyle Tucker injury, Kyle Tucker got injured in early June last year, and the Astros actually went on a tear. They were one of, if not the best teams in baseball for the next couple of months after that. They seized control of the division. They were back by 10 games. They were in first place by the All-Star break last year without Kyle Tucker. I don't know that this version of the Astros can go on that type of run without Jordan Alvarez. This is not as good an offensive team as last year's team overall. Well, I mean, if some of the supporting guys keep hitting the way they are, I'm just not counting on that. The pitching's been really, really good. I think the biggest thing is this: Jordan is the only threatening left-handed bat they've got in this lineup. It's really hard to go through a huge chunk of the season with Victor Caratini as your only left-handed bat, and he's a switch hitter, you know?
So I think just throw whichever reliever you want out there.
There's no punishment for not playing the chess game there with the reliever. So I think, I'm not saying they can't do it, I just don't see the Astros without Jordan Alvarez going on the type of run that they did for a couple of months after they lost Kyle Tucker last year.
I don't know. I mean, it's baseball. It's not like it's impossible. It's just your chances are a lot better with Yordan Alvarez. And I'm still leaning to, if I had to bet money on it, I bet that he's going to come back and he's going to have a typical Yordan Alvarez season, as long as he does come back. Because I think they're going to, just like somebody that's got an ailing hamstring and you want him to feel good for a couple weeks before you send him back, I think that's probably how they're treating this hand, is they want to have at least a week or so of him doing everything and feeling completely fine the next morning before they want to mess with a reoccurrence.
I do wonder if there's a breaking point for the fans and for people like us if the injury just keeps lingering and lingering and all we're getting is video of him running the bases and stuff like that. Like there was a breaking point with the Tucker thing, you know? Like there was a breaking point where people were frustrated that we were getting no information on that.
I think that they do it for a reason. I think that they have that old attitude of just, man, you don't want any information, we don't have to divulge, we're not going to put it out there because it can be a competitive advantage for somebody else. And at the end of the day, it's not such a big topic that I don't think there's anybody in a baseball office who should be worried about, like, fans are getting antsy about our injury policy, our injury information policy.
Oh, no, yeah.
This is going to be the thing that sinks us.
And I don't think they are. We're the ones out here interacting with all the people who are antsy about it. And I'm just wondering if there is a point where that happens with Yordan.
We did it with Christian Harris all last year on the football side of things. And they didn't give us a damn thing. See, I don't know. I never thought to get really all that peeved about it. So I don't get peeved about the Astros doing it.
The difference there is eventually, at least for me, I forgot Christian Harris was even on the team by like week 9. That won't happen with Yordan. You know, we will not forget Yordan Alvarez. Like, they were getting by without Christian Harris. I don't know how much they can get by without Yordan long term. We'll see. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. The 16-team college football playoff appears to be veering quickly towards reality. What is this thing going to look like? What is the role of the SEC and the Big Ten in all of this? We'll discuss that coming up next.